Welcome to the podcast of Lancaster Brethren in Christ Church, located in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. LBIC is a community being transformed by the love of Jesus, sharing this love with all people. We want this podcast to be an extension of our community and a connection with familiar voices. Together, we want to think about how to follow Jesus in our particular moment. So enjoy the podcast. We're grateful to have you join us as a part of the LBIC family.
Good morning. Welcome to Lancaster Brethren in Christ Church. It's good to have you join us for our online service. I just have one announcement that I'd like to give before we get started on the message today, and that is that starting next Sunday, October 18th, we're going to be moving our services indoors. For the past several weeks, we've been eating outdoors, but starting next Sunday, we will have two services, one at 9 and one at 10:30. The 9 o'clock service will be no congregational singing. The 10:30 service will have congregational singing. Both will be in the gym, and both will be required to wear masks to attend. But we also want you to know that we will continue to have our online service as well. We know that some of you are not able to come to the in-person service yet, and that's totally fine. We will continue to offer our online service every week. So we're continuing in our series this week on the parables of the kingdom. For the past several weeks, Joshua's been preaching on some of the parables that are recorded that Jesus taught that are in the book of Matthew. Today we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. Now, many of you know that I grew up in Massachusetts, but maybe you do or do not know that my family was very faithful in attending church. Kind of like the postal system, rain, sleet, snow, or hail, if church was happening, we were there. And going to church meant dressing nicely for church. And because I was a girl, dressing nicely meant wearing a dress. Rain, sleet, snow, or hail, I had to wear a dress to church. Now, I know some of you may be nodding in agreement. You remember those days of having to wear dresses on cold Sunday mornings. But over the past several decades, we've really changed our approach or our opinion to whether we need to dress up for church or not. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to get into a conversation about church dress code, but thinking about what we wear kind of leads into the parable for today. But before we get into that, just as a refresher, Pastor Joshua has preached the past 3 weeks from these parables, and he taught us that these were happening in the temple. Jesus was talking to the chief priests and the elders. They had been questioning him, actually challenging him, trying to trap him, trying to find a reason to get rid of him. And Jesus responded to them with these parables. So we're going to look today at the parable in Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" I think a lot of this parable is fairly easy to understand. Remember that Jesus was talking to the chief priests and the elders, and it isn't hard to see the similarities from this parable to last week's parable. Last week, they killed the messengers of the landowner and eventually killed his son. This was symbolic of the way that they treated God's prophets and then of the way that they were going to treat Jesus. We see similar behavior in this week's parable. They kill the messengers. Now, they don't kill the son, but by refusing to go to the banquet, it's a form of rejection. So they're rejecting the son. They're rejecting Jesus. Now, we all know that Jesus did not come just for the Jews. In fact, after his resurrection, Jesus told the disciples to go and take the gospel message to the ends of the earth. And this is represented by the folks who did come to the banquet. Those Jews who would have fallen out of favor with the elders for their sinful behavior, as well as the Gentiles, anyone who was not Jewish. Those are the people who came to the banquet. So that's kind of the easy part of the parable. Jesus is warning these people that he knows that they will reject him, but many others will believe and will be saved. But then we get to a few things that aren't quite as easy to just understand. And we need to ask, what is Jesus teaching us in this parable? So first, let's look at verses 11 to 13. The king comes in and notices that someone is at the banquet, not dressed in wedding attire. So he has him tied up and thrown out where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow. So because he was not wearing the right clothes, he was kicked out. But how did others get the right clothes? When did that happen? I started out by sharing that when I went to church, I had to wear a dress as a child. But over the past few decades, we've come to the point of realizing it's okay to dress nicely for church, but God accepts you however you come. You don't need to be all cleaned up for God to accept you. And that's translated into a number of ways that we as a church try to be accepting of all people. In fact, many churches have signs or slogans that say, "Come as you are, all are welcome." So while some of us may come in a dress or a jacket and tie, others are going to come in jeans, and we know that none of that matters to God. He accepts us however we come. So what is the point that Jesus is making about that guy not wearing wedding clothes? Does it mean that we're wrong in our assumption that God is accepting everyone, no matter what they look like? Of course not. We know God loves and accepts all people. Remember, parables are symbolic. So what do the wedding clothes or the lack of wedding clothes represent? I'm going to leave that question open for a minute, and we will go ahead and look at the other tricky part of this passage, and then I think we can put it all together to try to figure out what it is that Jesus has for us in this parable. Let's look for a minute at verse 14, where it says this, "For many are invited, but few are chosen." I don't know about you, but for me, that's one of those verses you just kind of scratch your head and say, "What?" Or maybe you just want to skip right over it. Because that word chosen, what does it mean? If you're into theological debates, you would immediately think that this is an argument around the theological topic of salvation. Is it about predestination or free will? As brethren in Christ, we would say that we believe in free will and that salvation is open to all. While not all will accept the invitation, there's not a specific group whom God has chosen ahead of time and only allows those into the kingdom. Does it take the invitation of God? Yes. Does it take accepting that invitation? Yes. Does it take believing in and accepting the sacrificial work of Jesus on the cross? Yes, 100% it does. But we don't believe that only some are given that opportunity. I mean, let's take it a step further. If we believe that God invites all, but then he actually already has in his mind who he's going to accept, a chosen few, that seems kind of hypocritical, doesn't it? And that's just against the character of God. So what does it mean? Well, how many of you use the phrase getting changed? Like, I'm sitting in my sweatpants all day, then I need to go to the store and I say, "I'm going to get changed." By the way, sitting around in my sweatpants, that's happening a lot more lately than it used to. But anyways, before I go somewhere, I get changed. While this parable is not referring to actual clothing, we can see that this means accepting the invitation alone wasn't enough. But you must get changed for the banquet. In order to sit and celebrate the bridegroom, we must get changed. We must be changed. This guest, when he's offered the chance to speak to defend himself, has nothing to say. When he's asked to give an account for his appearance, he remains silent. And I wonder if is it possible that he's saying he just didn't want to change? He wanted to enjoy the benefit of the banquet, but wasn't willing to do what needed to be done to stay? Again, this may challenge your idea behind the fact that God loves and accepts everyone just as they are. But listen to what N.T. Wright said. He said, Jesus reached out to the blind and lame and the prostitutes and the sinners. His love reached them where they were, but his love refused to let them stay as they were. Love wants the best for the beloved. Their lives were transformed, healed, and changed. If we accept the invitation to the banquet, we must be willing to be changed. In reference to the guest who did not have on the wedding attire, one commentator said this, the framework of the parable probably presupposes the Eastern custom of providing garments for guests who were invited to a royal feast. Wardrobes filled with many thousands of garments formed the wealth of every Eastern prince, and it was part of his glory to bring them out for such an occasion. This one man, however, would not receive the wedding garments, thereby insulting the host, and more than that, insulting the king. By remaining in his filthy rags, refusing to be adorned in costly linen belonging to the priest, the guest demonstrates Jesus' message. No one enters the kingdom on his or her own terms. Christ is the way to the Father. If one is to attend the future heavenly banquet, then he or she will do so on God's terms and not on anyone else. Our filthy rags represent our self-righteousness, and they must be replaced by the pure white linen of Christ's righteousness. The word chosen is all about response to the invitation, not about a chosen select few. We are chosen when we accept the righteousness, put on the righteousness, when we're changed with the righteousness of Christ. So now I think we can jump back to that other question. What do the wedding clothes represent? What do the wedding clothes look like? And this is where I love the way the pieces of scripture can fall together. You know, my passion for puzzles, and this feels like a puzzle with all the pieces falling into place. Because if we turn to Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul tells us what these wedding clothes look like. Listen to what he says. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on, or we could say clothe yourself, with love, which binds all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. And then add to that in Romans 13:14, we read that we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Galatians 3:27, it says that when we are baptized, we are clothed with Christ. We're putting on the wedding attire of Christ. I find this to be beautiful, that it just falls all together, so that when we are chosen, we are living in this kingdom way. This is the difference between the guest who was kicked out and the others. They had gotten changed. They were wearing wedding attire. I know there are a million nuances to this, and I'm not going to take a lot of time to dive into them, but I think I may know a few of the questions you may be thinking right now. Like, how changed is enough? What if we receive this invitation and we don't have time to change before we were to die? But this is where we need to stop. And we need to remember that we have a loving God. And as Peter reminds us, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So we can leave those details up to God. And honestly, I think we allow ourselves to get distracted by that conversation rather than paying attention to the challenge that Jesus has for us in this parable. The point is, we need to be changed. And the point is, what are you wearing? Are you wearing compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience? Are you forgiving others? Are you wearing love? Is peace ruling in your heart? Friends, I believe this is the heart of the message of this parable for us. What are we wearing? Today, in October 2020, a few weeks before the election, in the midst of a pandemic, when injustices continue to happen to our friends of color, I ask you, what are you wearing? Remember, Pastor Joshua has been teaching us that these parables all have to do with the kingdom of God. And Dallas Willard says the kingdom of God is where God gets what God wants. So if we connect the dots, I think we could say that God wants his people to be wearing wedding clothes. And these wedding clothes are compassion, which looks like touching and healing people who are sick and extending mercy to those who may be suffering. Or kindness, which looks like treating others as they want to be, as you want to be treated. Loving your neighbor, having dinner with a tax collector that everyone else hates. Humility, which looks like counting others as more significant than yourself, setting aside your kingly stature for the sake of others. Gentleness, which looks like telling others who are without sin to cast the first stone. Patience looks like knowing that one of your best friends is going to abandon you and reject you 3 times, and you wait for him with breakfast on the other side of his mistakes. Love looks like forgiving, accepting, or sacrificing for others, even those who are cruel to you. Forgiveness looks like asking God to forgive those who have nailed you to a cross. Peace looks like healing the cut-off ear of one of the men who has come to arrest you. This is what it means to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But maybe, just maybe, some of those examples of Jesus are just a little too distant for us. Because practically speaking, none of us are going to be nailed to a cross and need to forgive those people. So I thought of a few modern-day examples that might be a little bit more tangible for us. Compassion looks like kindness or mercy extended to those who may be suffering, regardless of their skin color, their political alliance, their sexual orientation, or their faith. Kindness looks like treating others as you want to be treated, loving your neighbor, even the one who has the election sign of the politician you oppose stuck in their front yard. Humility looks like counting others as more significant than yourself, looking not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others, even when you disagree with them on social media. Gentleness looks like taking a breath and counting to 10 rather than raising your voice. Patience looks like pausing when your Zoom freezes or your Wi-Fi shuts down, or pausing when you're just plain old tired of it all. Love looks like praying for those whom you vehemently disagree with. Forgiveness looks like accepting an apology, even if one's actually not even offered. Peace looks like going out of your way to say hello or be kind to someone, even those who may be unkind to you on social media. Friends, this is not rocket science. This is not a parable of Jesus warning us to be afraid because some are chosen by God to be in his kingdom and others are not. This is a parable telling us that if we are claiming to be God's people, if we want to be sitting at the banquet table, we need to be changed. Now, I do think we need to pause and acknowledge while we've been talking about an analogy referring to our outward appearance, it's what happens on our heart that also matters. The outward acts of kindness or humility, they are actually reflections of a changed heart. So it's not just your actions, but it's your thoughts, it's your attitudes, it's your unspoken words. Those also matter. The Pharisees, they actually dressed well, right? But it was their unchanged hearts that were the problem. So we need to keep this balance in mind that we have to have changed hearts, but they have to be accompanied by actions that reflect the changed hearts. Because as James reminds us, faith without works is dead. So this change has to be happening both internally in our hearts and externally in our actions. You know, some women like to try on their wedding dress years after they've been married to see if it still fits. Because actually, there's a few ways we don't want to change, right? Well, here's my wedding dress. It's actually all that I have left from it because I donated it to an organization called Sweet Grace Ministries. I actually encourage you to check it out sometime. I'm pretty sure I know the answer to the "I wonder if it fits" question. But as I think about this, I think about the fact that the person who wore that wedding dress 35 years ago is not the same person today, because God has been changing me for over 35 years. Does that mean I'm there yet? Absolutely not. Does it mean that this hasn't been a challenging season for me? Of course it has. But I hope that as long as God allows me to live on this earth, He will continue to change me. And I hope and I pray the same for you. Sure, it may be fun to try on old clothes and see if they fit, but that's not what God wants you to be wearing. When He invites you to the banquet of His Son, He wants you to be changed. He wants you to be looked differently. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? God, thank you that we can be changed. Thank you that you invite us to the banquet. You invite us through the work of your Holy Spirit to change us. Open our eyes to what we're wearing. Open our eyes to the wardrobe that you offer to us to wear. And help us to be willing to accept the invitation and be willing to be changed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to our time of communion, I do want to remind you that the love and the grace of Jesus is available to all. And so if you are interested in receiving that love and that grace, then you are welcome to participate in communion. The communion pieces that I have today are similar to that we have on our Sunday morning services, a cracker or a piece of bread, and a grape to represent the wine or the grape juice. Would you join me in saying the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and broke it, and gave thanks, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup, and he said, "This cup is a new covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for our time together. Thank you that we can worship together in person or virtually, and we can still be together as one church family. Lord, I pray that you would keep our eyes open, showing us how you invite us to be changed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, may you go in peace. May you know the love of God, and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the strength and the invitation of our Lord Jesus.